Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Well, what do we talk about in this episode, man?
Well, we're going to keep an eye on an Icon Bronco and bring a trailer. And we're going to get into Genesis, a GV60 EV vehicle. And the result of the Formula Atlantic versus Indy debate we had last week.
Very satisfying. First, there's Trico. Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades. That's right. Innovation, man. And they've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico engineers, they study specific driving conditions, so you're ready for anything. I don't care if it's raining actual cats and dogs, Trico is ready for you. Whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact no matter what your driving habits. You'll always find the right wiper blade for your vehicle, and that is why everyone here uses Trico, and the people who know their way around cars, and that's us, swear by Trico. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. That's right, going back over 100 years. To find a store near you and see the latest offers, visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. That is TricoCatsAndDogs.com. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the show. Get it on. And welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over there.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm busy. But good.
Yeah.
How's about you?
Good. Busy as well. As you, I just got back from a little business trip to Vegas last night and came back in here ready to do it.
Yeah. So weird.
quick trip.
I grew up, you know, I didn't have a lot of hard work and entrepreneurial types in my family. It's like I grew up, my grandmother had one job. She worked at the VA. It started at 9 in the morning. It ended at 5:30, and that was it. There was no weekends. There was no travel. There's no anything. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's better because the new world order is kind of interesting because you don't have to work evenings or weekends or travel, but it's always on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And for my grandmother, it was never on the table.
Yeah,
there was never anything to do on a Saturday. The VA's closed.
Yeah, right.
She's not going there. You know what I mean?
And it's just different for other people, for everybody. I like
the
hustle.
Losers. Go ahead.
I like the hustle. I liked going out there. Yeah, you know, I went out for a trade show I've never been to before for Bravago, our drink, and work the booth and see if we can sign some distributors, get it out there. It was good. It was a good event.
All right. Well, we got a lot of car news stuff breaking. We'll get to that first.
Yeah.
And hot Formula Atlantic follow-up talk, too.
Let me hit Geico first. Whether you own your home or rent your home, we know it can be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
All right. Now, so we got some of the stuff we're looking at is Genesis is announcing some SUVs and all electric SUV and stuff like that. I got to tell you.
Everything's electric. Everything's going electric.
I got to tell you, I pass by a Genesis on the highway, the big truck we've talked about, the one you took to Vegas. Sort of looks like a Range Rover. I was just driving down the freeway. It just caught my eye. It's like, that's a good looking vehicle.
Yeah. And everybody says Bentley. He goes, is that a Bentley? It's like, yeah. And it's not, but everybody, but Genesis sure loves that you think it's
Genesis
a Bentley.
Genesis is doing a lot of nice stuff. And maybe, just maybe, here's an analogy. So let's talk about sort of SUVs versus flat panel TVs. Flat panel TV would be like, you know, well, you got to go with the Sony if you want the good one. And there was a lot of that. Now it's pretty much based on size. It's not really, I don't really care who's manufacturing it. It's just what can I.
You're right. There's a few specs that you'd look for, but everything's pretty good.
I want to get
now.
The best price I can get on an 85 incher. Yeah. You know, and that's where most people are. And it's because everything's digital now. There's just no moving parts, you know, and they can be kind of competitive. And I feel like with these cars, especially the interior, and I know it's made of metal and leather and everything else, but I don't know if it's the computer. It is just back in the day, and I'll say this about the Ford Explorer. I saw a new one, like a sport one. You know, it's like, the gap between a Range Rover and a Ford Explorer or a Jeep Cherokee was a wide gap. It was like, well, you can get the Explorer. You know, we're talking about mid-90s or 2002 or something like that. Mm-hmm. You could go with the Jeep or the Ford Explorer, and you could save yourself $31,000. But when you get inside, it's going to be a lot of plastic and a lot of shit. It's going to be kind of like you're inside a truck. You know, it's not going to feel like the Range Rover feels. And that chasm has been narrowed a lot.
Yeah.
From the inside and the outside.
Yeah, like, it has.
You look at one of those Ford Explorer, you know, Plus or Sport or whatever, like, you just catch it out of the corner of your eye. It looks pretty damn good. And then you poke your head in the window, and it's like, it looks pretty good, too.
Yeah.
And the Genesis and everything, whatever, you know, whoever the marquee, you know, Mercedes or, you know, BMW, whoever's making Range Rover, whoever's making the high-end stuff, I don't know, they've shrunk that chasm a lot. And like I said, you could drive an old Explorer, but that was a choice you would have to make, and you were going to rough it a little bit.
And there's not a lot of talk about, like, you don't hear in the conversations of people going, oh, this is a Kia or a Genesis EV, and here's a Porsche EV. You don't hear a lot of, well, who's making the batteries for that guy? Who's making batteries for that guy? You know, or like, who's making the electric motor, or where are they sourcing the parts from? Like, that never really comes up. It's just kind of like, it's an EV. Like, it kind of works. Like, you're looking at the quality of the vehicle, and you're looking at the brand name, the quality of the brand, and the warranty, and you're a little less like, where are the batteries coming from, right?
Right.
Like, before we'd be like, you know, what guts were in it, you know? But now you don't.
And yeah.
Things like interiors and stuff, it was always about, like, what's the best premium leather, but so many car companies are going toward, like, leather alternatives. They're going for the green factor or sustainability. And so now there's all sorts of different materials and patterns and feels. And I want to say Polestar, right? The Volvo, like, spinoff brand that's going public.
Seen a couple on the road.
They don't use, I believe that's the brand that's like, we don't use leather. We're doing different stuff, but you're going to love the interior. And then you start to think, oh, I do like it. You know, and you're like, I don't know if it's cheaper than leather, more expensive than leather, but it's really nice.
Well, the diamond stitching is free.
Well, the diamond stitching is free, and it's interesting that you brought that up, because Genesis has announced this small electric SUV. It's a crossover. It's the GV60. And you look at the photos, you're like, I get it. It's kind of small. It's got a good design to it. It's got that the same kind of headlight, taillight on the larger Genesis that you mentioned. Then they show the interior, and they nail it with the diamond stitch interior and the really good like knurled knobs and stuff everywhere that match the AC vents and stuff. And it just looks good. Like, we're looking at a picture. Look at that interior, and you wouldn't think. I mean, Genesis is supposed to be the luxury brand for, for Kia, and but it looks good. So this is going to have like a two-motor or a rear-wheel drive and an all-wheel drive version. The max range, which will obviously be the slowest, lightest weight version, I think is about 286 miles.
Nice.
And the high performance version of this little thing will do 0-60 in about 4 seconds, maybe a little less.
Well, the future's here, and
it's kind of cool looking.
Yeah,
you know,
to me, it was always. I mean, that was always my beef. I was always getting into American cars, going, "What's up with the interior? Why aren't you guys just copy it?" And you know what kind of taught me early on, because everyone was always kind of like. Price point. It's like, yeah, the front seats are 14 inches thick. Why is that cheaper than making it 6 inches thick,
like, right.
More streamlined? One of the companies that kind of got me to think that way was Volkswagen. Volkswagen in the 80s, in the mid 80s, even their lower level, everything was lower level, Jettas and Rabbits and stuff like that. The interior wasn't insulting. Like, just the button for the hazard mm-hmm. was nice. The seats were a little more streamlined and had a little bigger bolsters on the side. It looked a little sportier. It just didn't look that tinny and hollow and shit. And then you'd see like an 80s Camaro and you'd go, what the fuck? yeah. And then my whole thing was, don't give me the price point thing, because the Jetta is cheaper than the Camaro. So why can't you guys just do something that's closer to that? I'm not saying I've seen what a Bentley looks like and I've seen what a Mercedes looks like. I'm not saying do that. I'm saying do whatever Volkswagen is doing with their cheap cars. Make it its design more than it is the actual expense,
Yeah, and that's where it's really... where the car companies feel like they stepped up their game. First, it did start with design. Companies were hiring good designers and putting more effort into the design and a little less just like, hey, it's a pedestrian car. It's cookie cutter. Like, let's just do it. It's just volume. It's like, it's for people who don't care about driving, and they just have to do it. And now it's a little bit like, why not get something that looks good? It makes you feel good about driving it. But
all right.
Anyway, I like that, the Genesis.
I do, too. I think their whole brand is good. Their whole line is good. All right. So hot news about Formula Atlantic versus Indy at Long Beach, right?
Yeah.
And now this is obviously the vintage Formula Atlantic cars, but Atlantic, because they don't have new Formula Atlantic cars. I don't think that's a series. It would have to be from the... probably from the 80s. So here's the question. Who's doing a faster lap time?
Right. Yeah, who's doing the faster lap time?
And, the Formula Atlantic probably had like a straight Cosworth, 2 liter something with side draft Webers or something and a header. Like, I don't think they're putting down a lot of horsepower. I don't think Formula Atlantic had turbos or V8s or anything. I think Formula Atlantic was like a straight Cosworth. I don't know. Now Chris can look and see Formula Atlantic what the power plant was. So they were definitely down on horsepower, but they had big tires.
Yeah.
And they were light.
Yeah.
And it's a tight track. So what's your prediction?
That's a tough one, because the Indy cars now are just so advanced and they're so quick on the straights that I think it's close, but I think the Indy cars are quicker.
I'm going to go Formula Atlantic, because I think so, just because I'll pick.
Otherwise, this would be a lame argument.
I'll be a contrarian. All right, so where's our data from, Ryan?
All right. So the data for the Formula Atlantic, that was a tough one to find, but I found it. We got a website called racemonitor.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it says that the fastest lap time was performed by Todd Willing in a 1974 Chevron B27.
74.
And the best time was 1 minute, 26 seconds, 0.958.
Okay.
So there's actually a 17-second difference. The F1 that had the fastest time was Patricio Aguirre for Team Aero McLaren SP. Best time was 1 minute and 9 seconds, 0.1.
Okay, but you got an F1 number.
Or sorry, I didn't mean F1. I meant Indy.
You meant Indy.
My bad.
All right. I meant Indy.
All right. When was the Indy number laid down? The guy was driving a 74.
Yeah.
That's 50 years old, man.
Yeah.
I'm curious here's what I'm curious. Well, here's how this started. They had the Formula Atlantic race before they had the Indy race.
Indy, just recently at the Grand Prix of Long Beach.
So I wanted to find out what the fastest Indy lap was from 2 weeks ago. Not necessarily fastest ever, but the fastest from 2 weeks ago. Because they shift tire sizes and intakes and horsepower and stuff
moves around. And we need to know what year that Formula Atlantic car laid down that lap time.
Now,
because
Ryan,
it could be... Do they have to run on vintage tires or they can run modern tire?
Interesting.
Right.
So what was the Indy time from 2 weeks ago?
Do we know that?
That's the question.
The Indy time from time from 2 weeks ago.
Oh, it is. All right. So he did a, what did you say, 1 7?
1 minute, 9 seconds, point
wow.
one.
Wow.
And it looks like he didn't finish the race. Also, just for reference, the fastest time ever was in 2018, and that was 1 minute, 7 seconds, 0.55.
Wow. That's cooking. Who did that, you know?
Yeah, that was Joseph Newgarden.
Yeah, wow. Well, he's fast. We know he's fast. I think he came in second at the race and the points this season.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Indy whooped up on the Formula Atlantic. I stand corrected, but 1974, man.
Well, that's the thing. It's like what would IndyCar or Indy equivalent would have run years ago? You know, versus now, because we don't know.
Oh, what would a 1974 Indy car do?
Yeah,
probably be quite a bit slower.
You know?
Yeah.
And now it starts to think about what do the sports cars do? Like, what did Newman do back in the day?
He crashed.
And Fitzy. I think Fitzy crashed, too.
He dive bombed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he did this stupid thing where they're just going down that back straight and he just dive bombed everyone and he was never making it out of that turn.
Yeah.
Took Irv Hare, I think, out.
So around that track, the Indy cars are the fastest things out there. I don't think there's anything else that they put on that track that is faster. But to your point, it's not a huge difference between vintage Formula Atlantic cars and modern day best of the best technology Indy cars.
Yeah, no, you're right in that a Formula Atlantic, the car was a 74, but we don't know what year they laid it down. But 74, they do this year?
Yeah, that was this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that was this year.
Also, just for reference again, all the cars were from the 70s. Nothing.
Oh, nothing made it in the 80s. Yeah, 70s cars. Yeah. Yeah, the real question is, what would an Indy car have done in 74?
And then, of course, you wouldn't know to look this up, but what is the tire that they're running now, right? Do they call Roger Kraus and be like, I need to run something vintage spec? Or is he like, no, this is what we're all running now. There's just everybody runs the same thing.
From what I know, from whatever experience I have, somebody said, here's the tire you got to run.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they'll go, you can run this tire, you can run that tire, but you can't run the other tire.
Yeah. Well, whatever, this guy was the fastest time of the weekend, so he's probably running the best of the tire options, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I wish we, you know, were in the vaccination line so we can go in and see those damn things. All we can do is hear them from the road out front. But anyway, it's kind of interesting to...
Did they run a Cosworth in those, Max Zapata?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Wow. Good call.
Also, Wikipedia says that they run Cooper Atlantic championship racing slicks and rain tires. That's the standard.
Good to know.
Yeah, they either do the Cosworth BDD engine or the Toyota 4AGE engine.
Either way, it's a straight four, and it's naturally aspirated, and it just maybe 2 liter, 2.2, something like that, 2.4. They just can't be putting down. I mean, they could probably get 305 horsepower out of a 2.2.
Out of something that weighs nothing. You know, 30% of the weight of that thing is the driver.
Right.
Good point. When you start getting into it. It'll be interesting to see when the race comes back around in April, right?
Because it's going to be,
what's going to be the vintage race? Like, what's the marquee or, you know, what's the theme for the vintage race?
It'd be a good thing to look into because we're local and maybe there's a car to bring down there.
Yeah, that is an interesting minimum that runs.
Minimum weight is 12:30, by the way, with the driver. Wow, that's the minimum on a Formula Atlanta car. All right. What else we got?
I just wanted to mention this. I think as we're sitting here, it might have gone off, but you know, we talk about Icon Broncos and Singer Porsches and kind of how these modified vehicles have changed in value over the years, what they're worth with good quality stuff. Somebody bought an Icon Bronco. I think it was the 28th or 25th or 26th.
Saw it on Bring a Trailer.
On Bring a Trailer. Should be ending any minute now. Last time I looked, it was over $200,000. It was a client and consigned it to a dealer in Utah. Mm-hmm. Chris, maybe you could find it on Bring a Trailer as an Icon Bronco just to check in to see. Maybe you could kind of run it in the background while we're doing the show, see if it sells. But I think it was 201, and it maybe had about 30 minutes.
It was in the...
So it's 210. It's got 3 minutes left. We'll see if the timer reboots. But, I mean, I don't know what the price range is on these things from 150 or 160 to about 200. If you bought one new and had it, you know, kind of spec'd out and made from Icon. So, I mean... What, this guy puts 5,000 miles on it, sells it, gets all his money back, maybe more.
Yeah, I don't know when Icon built this one. If it was number 28, it's probably...
check the first paragraph. I think it was in the first
probably earlier
of the...
I got to imagine be more than 200 now.
28, right there, first sentence. This was the 28th.
Right, but I don't know what year. Is that 2015? I don't know what year...
That's a good question. I don't know when it was built. But
listen, you know, I don't like to talk about me being right all the time, but one of the cars we never talk about really on the air, or rarely, but we've talked about off the air, maybe a little on the air, but you've seen it. I've looked at the spikers, and I went, that's a good-looking car, and it's nice, and they just never got any traction. They never went anywhere, and... 5 years ago, you get one for $130 or something like that. Those things are $350 to $400 now.
Are they? I didn't know they were that much.
Spiker.
Galpin was a dealer for a while. We'd see them there.
Spiker just, I think one sold maybe at auction, but I think Bring a Trailer sold one. They're $400,000. And I looked at those cars all the time. Diamond stitching.
Yeah. A lot of diamond stitching.
And very, very nicely done. Yeah. And I just look at that car and go, why is this considered a stinker? Like, and people are like, we don't like it. And we didn't want it. Well, if you could have picked one of those things up for $125 a few years ago.
They were Audi powered?
Yes. Audi V8 mid-engine. Those things are $400,000 now, and I think they're on the move because they didn't make very many of them, and they're going to be one of those cars that people got sort of sucked in. Like, I was just kind of looking at it going, I think it's pretty nice. This is pretty nice, and everyone else like, we're not interested, you know, and they were selling for, I don't know, $200, $180, $225 or whatever, but they were down to like $130. They were kind of like Mangusta. Kind of
a baby Pagani, right? Because like very sort of mechanical and exposed mechanics on the interior, the shifter linkage and stuff has a little bit of Pagani styling to it.
Well, But also, what it really looks like is that ATC, whatever, you know, 3 liter, whatever the car, I can never remember the name of that we love so
the
much.
ATS.
The ATS.
The ATS 2500 GT.
ATS 2500. If you look at the car, you look at the intake and stuff and the shape of it and the dimensions, proportions and stuff, it looks like the ATS, which is probably with the, which also has a small displacement mid-mounted V8 in it, like the Audi. I think the Audi may be a 4 liter V8, but you look at those cars and you go, oh, the Spyker and the ATS, they kind of look like the same car. And did one just go? I can't see the price up there.
$370,750 at Audrain's.
$370,000 Yeah. Now picture the ATS with that intake on the side and stuff like that. And you go,
it's almost like if ATS did a modern car today, it would have a little, it would have quite a bit of that in it. It would have quite a bit.
So those things are knocking on the door of 400. I think one sold at Bring a Trailer, Maxipata. But those things are getting up to 400 grand now. And by the way, they have a modern Audi engine in them, like, and probably drivetrain. Like, that's a car you could drive. You could take that thing up the coast, right?
I think you could. I don't know what they're like to drive. I never really read much about them, about being just like a dynamo on the track. I'm sure it's fine, but if, like, you never,
it's a
stylistic move.
I think it's a naturally aspirated Audi V8, you know, maybe 4 liter or 4.4 or something like that. I mean, you're talking about 400 horsepower on a good day, maybe 345 or something like that. It's not a fire breathing engine. I bet the car's heavy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a ton of horsepower. I don't think it wasn't, you know, it's no turbo Porsche. It was more about the style and about pulling up to Cars and Coffee with a whole bunch of guys with Lambos, and you pull that thing up and like no one has
one. It's an eye catcher.
Spyker, by the way, in August, one sold on Bring a Trailer for $450,000.
Do we know what model it was? Do we know if it was that model or the C8, or there was a newer model? I don't know. Was it aileron?
Lavalette. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it aileron, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know if they even made the second version or whatever version.
Well,
and they were going to make an SUV that looked like it.
Yeah, point is everyone listen to me.
All right. So actually, there's one of the things I wanted to bring up because somebody asked me.
The Bronco's at 235.
235. Now it reset the clock. It's going to keep going. Somebody asked me what your top 10 cars would be. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let me take a shot at guessing what the top 10 was. I was kind of in a rush. I grabbed six.
All right.
But let's see if we could fill it out. So six cars that I, off the top of my head, I actually said that ATS 2500 GT, because we just came back from Monterey. I got a Datsun 510. I got a Ferrari Lusso, a Lamborghini Miura, a Lamborghini 350 GT, and a Porsche 917.
Mm, that's good. Always got to throw the M1 Pro car.
M1 Pro car.
The BMW.
Right. Write that down.
I just love that car. I just love the look of that car. So let's break it down. Well, I guess you'd have to go with a 240Z in there somewhere as well. In a weird way, the 2000 Roadster. It's just always love those cars. It's getting a little Datsun-centric, I know, but not the 1600 Roadster. That's a pushrod engine, but the 2 liter's got a big head on it. It's not an L engine. It's a U designation, and it's got a big, like, racing ported head on
it. M1 Pro car.
It's tall ass.
240, and the Roadster 2000.
Yeah.
And then let's say we added one more to that list.
Well,
if we didn't change what I already
said. We gotta give a nod to the Ferrari 512 race car.
Yeah.
Is that the 512, Maxipata? Is that the...
That's the big flat boxer engine in the back, the big flat...
But that's not the... shit. That's not the BB... That's not the... Yeah, this is the 512. Yeah, go to the right. One more. There you go. That could be one of the baddest.
70.
Yeah, that could be one of the baddest mobiles ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that was when people always ask that question, like, what's the top 10 favorite cars or whatever? My first reaction is, I don't want to answer this question. Then my second reaction is, in race trim or street car?
Yeah,
because there's always a thing.
You got to
right?
go back and forth. You got to believe the 935 K3.
Yeah.
is pretty high up there.
I know when people ask the question, they mean street cars. So I always got to pick. You always got to think a few street cars mixed with racing cars. Of course, mm-hmm. Mira is always going to do great, right?
Right.
And now that ATS, which is just a cool car, the ATS 2500.
Well,
is
they
a
made
cool car.
Seven of them, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
And it's got a Ferrari based. You know, I guess it's a four cam V8 mid. I don't know what's cooler than that car.
It's just a cool piece and a cool story. By the way, the Bronco, the Icon's up to 250,000. The clock reset.
Yeah, so it's just.
But it was 210 30 minutes ago when the seller was like, "Oh man, it's right on the bubble of what I probably wanted." Now it's probably doing better.
Well, it's a new world order, and it's kind of interesting. And I don't know what you think of this, but. You know, we always had that, you know, Chip Foose or Cal Customs or whoever that could build this celebrity a car, but then they'd get divorced and wouldn't be worth anything
stuff
like that. And, you know, then Porsche Icon and
Singer.
I was doing Spiker and Singer. Mm-hmm. Then Singer came along and Icon came along and some other companies as well. And they started making cars, and they were hand-built one-off cars, but they still had a model. You know what I mean? It wasn't just Chip Foose. You know, you bring Chip Foose something, mm-hmm. and he just mm-hmm. does what he wants to do with it. You know, it was like, we're doing a 911. We're doing a Bronco.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that consistency added something to the value to it versus like I got a, you know, a notchback Mustang 67. I'm going to bring it to Chip Foose and I'm going to have him trick it all out. It's one of one, but you need some examples to trade, you know, set a mark, set a price in the marketplace. And if Chip Foose is going to make 25 different cars, we're never really going to get that.
Right.
And with Icon, I mean, obviously, you have to do it right. Singer and Icon do it right. They go, okay, there's a market now. We know how much one costs new. We know how much one sold for and bring a trailer. We're setting a market, which is nice because it's nice to have these boutique companies set sort of a market.
It does, but it also makes you feel like you're getting a really good quality $500,000 custom build for $200,000 because that company plans to make 50 of them or something.
Right.
So now you're like, oh, because they're doing the CAD work and the machine work and on, you know, on a billet grill. Like the Icon's got a full on billet grill. But what does that cost to do one? What does it cost for him to make, you know, 35 of them?
Right.
Like that's where it starts to bring that price down, but you still feel like you get, hey, I got a custom, you know, $500,000 build, basically.
It just trickles up. It's now $252,000. And reset the clock.
Yeah, it's done that like three times now, which is always gets everybody fired up on Bring a Trailer.
All right, let me tell you about Mack Weldon. You're busy. Stop thinking about what to wear and embrace Mack Weldon's daily wear system, a selection of clothes with smart design, performance fabrics, built to work together, from breathable t-shirts and polos to stylish button-ups and shorts, underwear and beyond. I'm wearing one of their t-shirts right now, by the way. The stuff is high-end. The stuff is quality, and it's just everything they make. Well, it's kind of like you know, it's kind of like the Icon.
I just picked
making
up.
Making good stuff now.
I got the Mac Weldon sweatpants,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of like, they're nice. It's like a really good quality, almost kind of dressy kind of sweatpant. And traveling, like airport and like flying around, super comfortable, by the way.
Yeah, they got the they got their Ace sweatshorts, and they also have their silver knit polo, Radius shorts. It's all at Mac Weldon, right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, buy some time this summer with the Mac Weldon Daily Wear System. For 20% off your first order, visit MacWeldon.com/CarCast and enter promo code CarCast. That's MacWeldon.com/CarCast. Promo code CarCast for 20% off. It's Mac Weldon, radically efficient wardrobing.
All right. Now we're still at 2:50. Now we hopped up to 255.
255. While we're watching that, I just wanted to...
I just want to give Chris a little bit of homework, which is, what year did this thing sell, or what year was it manufactured? That's the question.
Yeah, no, we know it's a 72 Bronco, but
I'm not sure. I'm highlighting it's like a copy and paste.
Come on, man.
I know.
Leave
you guys,
the man alone.
It's got to be in the description. Like, what year did the seller acquire this vehicle, right?
Like I feel like they're pretty thorough when they tell you, you know, about the car's history. And the thing must have been purchased or manufactured in 2016 or some version of that.
At the very least, we can do the math on it, because Jonathan Ward brought like the first Icon Bronco here to mm-hmm. CarCast. We could figure out when that happened and then figure he's doing a few a year or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know what number 28 means.
Yeah, maybe
world.
It's year two or three of whatever he did, but we can kind of figure it out from there if it's not in the description.
Yeah, well, it is curious. I mean, number 28 is good, but it is curious that they don't say built in 2019.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think I saw a few Singer cars that are popping up that do have that. They would say something like, this is a Singer from X year, and it may be like had a Singer refresh in a different year. Like, if it's a 15 and it got a Singer refresh in 19.
Well, for Singer especially, it's valuable information. It's critical because they switched to this engine, you know, or this manufacturer for the engine, or they upgraded so-and-so and whatever. All right, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, just kind of off topic, would be Jeff Bezos, you know, shot himself into space, and now he's doing it again with other people. He's got two paying clients, and I don't know why he keeps doing this like invitation thing of like, I'm going to pick somebody to go. He asked William Shatner if he wants to go to space.
Yeah.
Rocket Man.
Yeah.
Shatner's 90, and I was just telling Chris a while ago, you know, we ran into Shatner at dinner one night, and then he invited us to his charity event. We sat with him there, and he's spry. He's got a lot of energy, and I like him because he's a performer. Like, he's done. He's not just like an actor. He's just a performer.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, podcast or radio or film or TV, or I assume something on stage, Broadway, you know, just like, he's just a performer. Like, he's 90.
Well, a couple things. My dad's 90 and he ain't performing.
he's not riding horseback down the street
in a fucking chair somewhere right now. Number one. Number two, I went to some event. I can't even remember what the fuck it was. Some sort of thing when I was on Discovery Channel or something. I can't even remember. It was 10 years ago. But, you know, Shatner was 79, 78 at the time, whatever he was. He was the orator. He was like the master of ceremony. He just got up there. He was funny. He was articulate. Like, he was on his feet. Like, he kind of missed his calling as like an actor. He should have been a comedian, like a stand-up. Like, he really was funny and engaging and telling stories and like hitting jokes and punchlines and all that. And also I think he sung the song Rocket Man.
He had this album and he kind of talked it through Rocket Man.
Like, I think he covered Rocket Man in that album.
But more as poetry.
Right.
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 which is fantastic. But like, if
you know what's, you know what's interesting? Here's interesting. So Shatner talked through it. at some point, Leonard Nimoy covered, came out now too. What percentage of the Star Trek cast dropped an album?
Right.
Because I'll bet you Hulu or who's what was it? Hulu? Was it Hulu?
that's the Sulu.
Sulu.
That's the streaming service.
Sulu.
Yeah.
Sulu probably, I mean, they probably had DeForest Kelly, the Irish guy. Like, I'll bet you everyone dropped an album.
Don Johnson did.
Oh, yeah.
That Johnson did. Heartbeat.
Well,
but so did Eddie Murphy, though. But
sold, yep.
He likes to party all the time.
256 is what the Bronco topped out on.
The Icon Bronco, 256. I think that's good money. I think that's really good money for that.
You know, I feel like it's well bought and well sold.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like that's a good, solid, fair price for that, for that car. But we still trying to figure out what year they did it.
It's a good price because if the seller bought it new, he made some money after enjoying it, which is exactly mm-hmm. what Donald Osborne was talking about the other day. Mm-hmm. And then the buyer was like, I just got one. It's shaken down. I don't have to get on a waiting list. I'll mm-hmm. have it in 24 hours or, right. you know, or whatever, 3 days.
Oh, we've yeah. Chris figured it out. 2015. So it's
yeah. wow, you were right on the money.
6-year-old vehicle. All right. Yeah. How many? Who? Let's see. Star Trek cast.
Shatner is going to go 66 miles off the Earth and float around for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I guess you get to unbuckle and just float around and be Shatner for 10 minutes. But it's also like, they're going to run cameras. Like, what is he going to say when he's up there? It's going to be funny mm-hmm. and witty.
Mm-hmm.
And when he jumps out of that pod in the desert someplace and lands wherever, like New Mexico, wherever they're landing, where Bezos land,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is he going to do? What is he going to say? Like, that's the entertaining part.
So, Chris, it'd probably just be the top six or seven cast members. We don't have to get into the guys in the engine room.
I don't know if you had somebody in mind that you're just trying
to... No, I'm just trying to figure out if they all cut an album, because back then, you cut an album. Whether you could sing or not, didn't matter. If the show was popular, you were cutting out.
But now is it still books? It's still books, right? You're like, oh, you got a fan base. You could do a thing. You should do a book. It'll be entertaining. Maybe back then they're like, album seems easier.
Well, you just right? you'd
especially
cover,
if you read the song like Shatner.
You just cover Beatles songs,
yeah, that's
and
right.
someone else does all the arranging and mixing and all that. That's light lifting, as we call it.
I'm seeing, Admiral Kirk, Spock, Uhura, and Leonard McCoy all sang.
They all sang.
Sulu and Scotty did not sing.
They didn't sing. But
I mean, they had albums.
Well, if you look at their
singing,
wiki, like...
But here's the thing. Being able to sing and doing an album back then were not the same thing.
No, because they were also stage actors, right?
Right.
And like you would sing for that. But you're right. Being an album, and then here's the thing, is if you're going to be that guy, you're going to be that actor and do the album, and you want it to be successful, Christmas album.
Right.
You do a holiday album. You do a Christmas album.
Right.
It's going to sell.
Right. All right. So you can try to figure out how many of them
had
dropped
an
album.
Actual album.
Yeah, not who could sing, but who dropped an album. All right, let me tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then there's bundling. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. And speaking of automotive, I got a road trip story for you. We're talking about Vegas.
Yeah.
I think I've driven to Vegas as many times as I've flown to Vegas. I drove there famously in the back of a Datsun standard bed pickup truck, 1984. I don't know when Icon got hold of it, but I can tell you it left the Nissan factory in 84.
Right.
And
what time of year do you do that? Because it's deadly. I went out in June for Barrett Jackson, and we stopped at the big thermometer. It said 117 degrees.
It was the worst calculation of my life, because it was a standard bed, standard cab, dots. It was black. Mm-hmm. I ended up buying the car. It was my buddy Chris owned it at the time. Later on, he sold it to me. It was the one I put the fuel cutoff switch in.
Yeah, painted the.
And we were going to leave at like 8 at night to beat the heat. The thing didn't have air conditioning or anything. And it's back when cars would overheat, too. Like, you couldn't just take that thing through Death Valley at noon. It would overheat. Yeah. You know, it was the middle of the summer. And Chris picked me up. I got inside. No headrest or anything, just a bench seat. But at least I was in the truck. And then we went to go pick up Ray. And Ray just came down from his apartment, and he saw me sitting in the passenger seat. And he went, get out. And I was like, no. And he's like, get out. Ride in the bed of the truck. It didn't even have the split window that for campers. Like, once you're in the back.
Hand me a drink. At least hand me something.
No earbuds. No Gatorade. Nothing.
Yeah, no AirPods back there with the noise cancellation. No.
So he's like, get out. And I'm like, no, I'm riding in here. And then he said, no, just get in the back. Get in the bed. And, you know, Ray would probably, pretty soon you would start fighting.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Start- so... I being myself, I just said, hey, Ray, one of us is going to ride in the front cab on the way there, and then one of us is going to ride in the front cab on the way back. There's just no way I'm going to ride in the back there and back. Or you. We'll trade off. So I'll leave it up to you. And he was like, okay, get out of the car. And I was like, fine, because we're driving out at night.
Yeah.
We're going to come home at like noon on Sunday, and I know it's going to be broiling back there, and he's going to be getting punished by the sun. So I'm like, fine. I got out, got in the bed of the truck, and just sat in the bed of a pickup truck and drove to Las Vegas.
Yeah,
and no camper shell, no nothing, and
just you and nature.
We got there, and at some point, Ray ran into some guy named Saul who he knew, who's like a little bit of a high roller, and Saul bought him a ticket on a flight. So Ray ended up flying home, and then I was in the front on the way home, but I'm still pissed.
Yeah, I would have been.
Because I got out of the car and went in the back.
You got outmaneuvered.
Now, that was before Geico, but now I guarantee if that truck is on the road, it is insured fully by Geico. You can go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how easy it is to save when you go to geico.com. All right, Max Barrett, how many cast members from the original Star Trek dropped an album? We know Shatner did.
Shatner did. Nimoy did.
And we know Nimoy did.
Michelle Nichols did. DeForest Kelly, although he's credited as a great singer, he didn't actually drop an album.
Interesting.
And neither did Sulu or Scotty.
Yeah.
So
wait, we got three albums out of that cast?
Yeah, three out of six.
That's impressive.
That's not bad. I would have thought maybe four.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that, you know, DeForest had some chops, but he also had dignity. You know what I mean? Like, I can sing, but just because I can sing doesn't mean I'm
He was probably like, let's see these other three, see how they do on their albums.
Right.
Maybe I'll just sing backup on Don Johnson's album.
Yeah, DeForest Kelly often sings solo in morning church services. So.
Wow.
Okay.
But never dropped down. And the third one that did, was that the black chick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. All right, Brea Improv, October 30th, two shows over there, and Rob Riggle's going to join me for one of them. You can just go to adamkroll.com for all the live shows, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Portland, all coming up, and you can check out our chassis stuff, CHASSY, on our Pluto TV channel, 687. What do you got, man?
Yeah, just give me a follow on social media at Moderator. You can chat there.
And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Matt, the Moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.